Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
We just had an article appear at newsandviews.com, Armed and Dangerous, and it was an article about the Sandy Hook kind of event and the reaction that a lot of people have taken to it. And basically, the article was about the fact that, when I was in school many, many years ago, I went to all private schools, but we had public schools all over. I was in Houston, Texas, and actually at the time I lived in Houston, Texas, it was the number one murder capital of the world. We had that many murders in Houston, Texas. We weren't quite a million people yet, but there were lots of murders in Texas. I'm not sure why the crime rate was so high as far as murders are concerned. It happened a lot in the poorer neighborhoods, but that was a statistic that came out when I was a young man, probably when I was about 12 or 13. I went to private schools and then I went on to attend St. Joseph's College when I was 13 out in California. And it was we lived in a pretty good neighborhood. We didn't see that violence. But what we did see is guns. Guns were everywhere. And there was nobody coming into the schools, shooting up the schools in those days. It was many years later that the first school shooting I ever remember was actually in Houston. Was in Texas anyway. I think it was actually in Dallas, and it was somebody climbed up into a tower and started shooting everybody from that tower. Now he was way up in the tower, very hard to pick off, and eventually somebody did stop him. But it was a college student, disgruntled and everything. But there wasn't all these shootings that we have seen in the recent past. And Israel had these kinds of shootings, mostly because they're in the midst of a war and have a great deal of conflict. They were, they've had riots over the years between the Muslims and the Christians. And these events that we see taking place in places like that were stopped simply by arming the teachers. And once they armed the teachers, there wasn't this problem anymore of, people coming into the schools shooting people. They did have a problem with it once, not too many years ago, where somebody came in, guns a-blazing, trying to shoot as many Israelis as they could. And it was a Muslim, not that the same thing doesn't happen in the other direction. But the reality was a student pulled out a gun and stopped the incident. And that's really what we're doing, is when we're creating these gun-free zones, we're making the world unsafe for children in school. When I was a kid, kids actually brought guns to school. They brought guns because they were in the shooting club. And when I was a boy, you could go down to the hardware store when you were 14 years old, I didn't do it, but I know people who did, and buy a .22 rifle and shells and ride back with the rifle on the handlebars of your bicycle, and nobody stopped you. It just was that way. In the town where I live now and in the community, the entire valley where I live now, there hasn't been an armed robbery since 1957. And the two guys who perpetrated that didn't make it out of town. They didn't make it to our valley. Somebody stopped them, a bunch of people stopped them with guns in the roads. Now, people's reaction to that is, oh, well, we don't want the OK Corral. Well, one of the things I immediately point out, shootout at the OK Corral, you never hear about shootout 2 at the OK Corral. The OK Corral ended that situation where there was actually a great deal of lawlessness in the communities, and somebody actually stood up and stopped it. And that's what we need in this country. And then the secondary thing, of course, is that the guns aren't, we don't have a right to bear arms so that we can go duck hunting or deer hunting. We have the right to bear arms to protect our families and protect ourselves. Out where we live, we're 75 miles from the nearest police station. And we don't have the problems that a lot of other people have. That because of the fact that everybody out in our valley is armed. And that's something that, it's really about responsibility. And this was the topic of the show this morning. I didn't really want to get into the talk about, we'll see how that article goes. And we've had a lot of good responses from it. And you can get that at newsviews.com. If you look for Brother Gregory as an author there, that's where we publish. And we also have the same article on hisholychurch.org. Because we're really talking about responsibility, and that's what the Bible was talking about from the beginning. When the people went into bondage in Egypt, they were asking the government to be responsible for them, to guarantee their bread, their daily bread. They were in a famine. They sold themselves in bondage in Egypt so that the government of Egypt would guarantee that there would be bread and surplus for them if they became members of this city-state of Egypt. But they had to pay in 20% of everything they earned, their working labor, one-fifth, to the Pharaoh. And we have pictures in the movies of all these people being in bondage and working every day as slaves. And they were a form of slavery. It's called a corvée. But it wasn't like what the movies portray it. It was just 20% of everything they earned. Now, there was crafts of state that followed in the next couple hundred years, and the burden of taxation grew greater and greater and greater. And there was a Pharaoh somebody who was in the position of Pharaoh that was fairly benevolent for a while, but then somebody else came into power. There was actually several pharaohs over this period of time, and eventually a pharaoh came into power that was creating war situations. He conquered more ground than anybody else, any of the other pharaohs in history. But he was waging war in all kinds of foreign places and running up a huge debt and having to pay armies just the same, put greater and greater tax burdens on the people. And they did it through lots of other taxes besides the 20% that you owed on your labor. They taxed everything else. You're taxed on transportation, taxed on travel, and taxed on sales tax actually came in. Even Rome had a sales tax, and that was used to kind of cover unemployment, which was a big problem. But the problem with these situations where the burden got greater and greater is that the economic pressures actually had people aborting their children. They would give them pessaries so that they aborted their children, so that they, because to give birth to a child increased your tax burden. You're going to see that more and more in the time ahead with the new tax laws coming in. We talked this morning about all the different gifts, gratuities, and benefits you're not going to be getting anymore. They're going to cut back. Thousands and thousands of people are going to be laid off, the federal employees, if they continue with their present plan for budget cuts, which I think is great because we're going to have to start fending for ourselves. And this is really what Moses was doing. He was teaching them how to be responsible. And that's what I was trying to get back to, is that you had to become responsible. Every Israelite carried a sword. They were to arm themselves. That was their right and responsibility to bear arms. Moses even goes into detail as to that you had to have a hilt on the handle of your sword so that when you're traveling, you could dig a latrine and bury your latrine. And the reason why is to prevent spread of disease. These were health rules. At that time, when they eventually got into Canaan and anywhere else, there was a huge problem of parasites in the food chain. Everybody was being decimated by these parasites that they were getting from raising pork, and also diseases like flus come from raising pork and waterfowl in the same place. All flu viruses come from northern China, just about, except for maybe they might manufacture a few and they get away from some of their laboratories. But generally speaking, we have monitors up in China watching for the next flu virus. And when it comes, then they make another flu vaccine, and then they talk you all into getting the shot, which is a big mistake. But the point is they're all coming out of northern China because they raise vast amounts of pork and waterfowl in the same cages, in the same locations. And that intermingling of humans, pork, and waterfowl, eventually the viruses jump the genetic barriers and you have a new disease coming down the pike that nobody has a resistance to. And we've seen just about everybody we know around us who went and got the flu vaccine have had terrible bout with the flu. We had something come to our house too. My wife was ill for a day or so, but she never missed a day's work. She got up and went and did our chores every day. She felt miserable for a day or two. She lost her voice for about a day or two, and she got better. Now, I don't know if we're going to get hit by another flu, but we didn't get the flu shots. But that's why we also have a different diet than most people. We raise most of our own food. The fact is this is what we're doing all across the country, is we're trying to get people to get back to being responsible. Everybody should be there ready to defend their neighbor. And it doesn't always mean to defend your neighbor with a gun. Defend your neighbor if some sort of injustice is coming. Help your neighbor if they get sick. Used to be that when there was a problem, Christians went to church. And they prayed for help at church. And the people that were at church helped them. Those that had shared with those that didn't have. That's what it says in the writings explaining what they did at church in the first and second century. They didn't go to Caesar. They could have gone. Caesar had welfare programs. Herod had welfare programs. You signed up. You became a member of that welfare program, and it's how you took care of the needy in your midst. It's how you took care of those that fell on hard times. Widows, orphans, sick people, crippled people. They took care of them through the welfare system that your society created. In Judea, the society was based on getting baptized by the ministers of Herod, registered by the ministers of the temple called scribes, and then you had to pay in to the treasury called Corban, which means sacrifice, and then those funds were used to take care of the needy when somebody was injured or got sick or fell on hard times. It was their welfare system. But the Christians were cast out of that system if they got the baptism of the king called Jesus, the anointed highest son of David called Jesus. If you got his baptism and the baptism of John the Baptist, you could still go get benefits when you went to church, but they weren't entitlements. They were about sharing. They were about charity. And those that had shared with those that didn't, which is why John the Baptist said, you know, if you have two coats and your neighbor has none, share. It's charity. And so what they were really creating was a welfare share program based on charity, based on faith, hope, and charity. Now, just before the program started, we were talking about the new health care bill that's been passed and supposedly coming your way by the 2014. And how will you get exempt from that? You can get a $2,500 fine, from what I understand, if you don't go get medical insurance. Well, you can get an exemption from that, where you don't have to go get medical insurance if you belong to a medical share program. Every church should be a medical share program. All our congregations really are. We don't have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted on it, but it's not an entitlement program. You see the same thing going on with a medical share program by the Good Samaritans. except for we operate more like the first century church. They operate more like an insurance company. They're not insurance, but they're exempt from the new bill, from what I understand. They'll tell you on their website. We've already done a program on that. But what about other things? What about other things that are not covered in your medical insurance? Things that you know, acts of terrorists. Almost everywhere in every insurance program, acts of terrorists aren't covered by your insurance. So what do you do then? Well, if you are part of a medical share or welfare share in a church that is comprised of people who care as much about your rights as they do about their own, the people who love you as much as they love themselves, you're all set. They'll help take care of you. If you're a genuinely hardworking person, there won't be any welfare program that produces welfare fraud in a system like that. I can name you people I know all over that are committing welfare fraud right now. They actually conspire to get on disability with somebody else who was already on it. They said, how can I get on disability? Well, you do this and you do this, and they faked it. They faked delayed stress syndrome, and they got on disability. And then as soon as they got on disability, they bought a new truck because they're a part of the underground economy and they're actually working. But all the money they make, they don't pay taxes on. And I can name you people after people after people that have done that for years and years and years. And your tax dollars are supporting them. And if that comes to an end, it's, you know, we mentioned somebody who's getting food stamps, has his EBT card, he goes in, he's got $6,000 credit on his EBT card. Just the other day on another radio station, they were talking about how many people that are in jail getting all their food, their rent, everything paid for because they're in jail, and they're collecting Social Security. So they're like kings in jail because they got an entire Social Security check and they don't have any expenses whatsoever. That goes on in your system. That went on in Rome. It bankrupted Rome. It centralized power in Rome. Why did all that come about? Because they offered you a welfare that made the word of God to none effect. They offered a welfare that was a snare. They offered a welfare that brought you back into the bondage of Egypt. You got your free education at the expense of your neighbor. You got your welfare at the expense of your neighbor. You got your Social Security at the expense of your neighbor. And it was a common purse that runs towards evil. All that's in the Bible. That runs towards evil, they say. And that's where everybody went. Everybody's gone that way. And they think they're Christians, and they're not. They've gone the other way. The Bible is about being the government of the people, for the people, and by the people, by everybody taking back their natural responsibilities and taking care of one another. And all you it's absolutely legal to do today, to take back your responsibilities. They will not exempt you entirely from the system. You will still pay your taxes. But that system is going to crumble and collapse, and we see it. We hear it on every station. They talk about the coming collapse. They talk about systems crumbling all around you. Economically, morally, we're already collapsed. Food-wise, talk about food. Used to have, when I worked on wheat farms back in the 60s and 70s in North Dakota, there was 6 to 7 years supply of grain for this country in silos on the farms at any given time. 6 to 7 years supply of grain. In the world today, you're lucky if there's 30 days supply of grain in the world for world uses and needs. 30 days. A series of weather catastrophes. We already had one, you know, last year. We may have another one this year. Floods, famines, droughts. Those things are real worldwide. Your bread could become $50 a loaf. course, if you have your EBT card, you might be able to get it for a lot less. But you have to sell yourself a slave forever to get it. God doesn't want you to go that way. And you've gone that way. Because he knows it leads to bondage and slavery. And if you go into bondage and slavery, it will weaken you as an individual. Being free takes a lot of effort. And you haven't been spending that effort, and you can't just suddenly, instantaneously become free again. Everything you've been told about the Bible is laced with lies and half-truths. And it's led you back into the bondage of Egypt, where if you lived in Egypt today, you only have to pay 20% income tax, and everywhere else you pay way more, and they're taxing you at every turn because you have sales tax, property tax, gasoline tax, tax after tax after tax, and everything you buy, the price is as high as it is because of tax. And then you have the invisible tax of inflation. Somebody was saying that he was giving a bill, I think it was $1,400 for some work that he had done. And he told the guy that if you want to pay me in silver, it would only be $67 and change to pay a $1,400 bill. When I was a kid, you got paid in silver. But they took the silver out of your coin, and we've told you before and explained that's exactly what Rome did. They did it just about the time of Christ. Nero took about 40% of the silver out, and then by Diocletian, there was no more silver in the Roman silver coin, and a loaf of bread went, or a sack of wheat, what they call a modius of wheat, went from about 3 dimes worth of silver, 3 denarii, to over 100,000 denarii for the same sack of wheat. People were starving to death in the streets. The most prosperous, the most successful city and culture for 1,000 years went from the unbelievable successful society to people starving in the streets in a few short years once they took the silver out of the coin. When I was a kid, a loaf of bread was a dime. If you had a dime today, you could still buy a loaf of bread if it was silver. So that's another tax that's going on constantly. You know, you used to work for, what if you work for $30 an hour now, that would be like working for a dime. Not a dime, a dollar. A dollar an hour. Back in 1964. Because it takes you about $35 just to buy a silver dollar, an ounce of silver. So you'd be better off in 64 making a dollar an hour than you would be today making $30 an hour. You would have more buying power. Can you imagine what that's like? I mean, you pay, what, $30,000 for some new cars? Well, that's wouldn't be $30,000. It'd be like $800, $900 if it was silver. And if we're all using silver now, the value would, with every new birth and every new person entering the work market, the money in your pocket would be more valuable at the end of the day than it was at the beginning of the day because the demand would have gone up. Instead, at the beginning of this program, the money was worth so much. At the end of this program, it's going to be worth less. And that's the way it is. That's what it has become. And because we haven't been responsible, we haven't listened to what the Bible says. We've done contrary to what the Bible says. And because we've done contrary to what the Bible says, all this has come about. It says have just weights and measures. You don't have that. You haven't had just weights and measures in the United States, really, in circulation. Since 1913. You did in 64 when you had some silver coin, but they'd already gone off the gold standard back in 33. And so it was becoming unjust. And tell you the truth, as soon as you stamp on a gold coin that it's worth 20 silver dollars, you have unjust weights and measures. you have stepped over the line against what you're already on the road to destroying your money system. And you weren't taught that in public school, but that's what the Bible tells you. That's why the Christians were accused of robbing the temple at Ephesus, which was the World Bank. If people were actually start going back to the ways of Christianity, early Christianity, what it was really doing, not what they tell you, your society would start to recover. Unfortunately, most people don't want to go back there. So your society will not recover because it will not repent. It will not turn around. But some of you out there want to change. You want to do something different. What's hard, what's really hard, is to find those people who really want to do what would save society. So that's why we started the Living Network. And we'll tell you more about that after a little bit. But that idea of finding those other people who realize we've made these wrong choices, these wrong turns, and we want to, and it's turned our world upside down. It's given men power over us. It's made us subjects and slaves in our own lands, in every country. It's not just this country, in every country. It's about morality and principles of righteousness. But we'll talk about that predatory government and how to turn that around when we get back. But the first thing you're going to need to do, if you decide to turn around, is to find other people to walk that road with. You don't bind each other with contracts. You bind each other with relationships of honor and mercy and justice and forgiveness and charity. And these are what you create your bonds with. And that's because you actually believe in liberty and righteousness. But anyway, we'll return to Keys of the Kingdom. I know we have to take a break here, and I think we're right up to about the half hour. And we'll talk more about how to defend yourself from predatory governments when we return. Okay, glad to be back. What we started the program this morning about was this statement that was made by Dr. Edward Rivera in one of his articles, that the end of the monarchy in America should have been the end of the predatory government and taxation, but written law was just getting started. One of the comments that we often hear from modern Christians is that we're no longer under the law. And that's just not true, that people are under millions of laws. They're under tens of thousands of laws in every country. In the United States, I've completely lost track of what the number is. I don't know if anybody actually has a monitor on how many laws that you're under. And these are the laws that run you. The more laws, the more corrupt the state, according to Tacitus. And that's really what's happening, is that the predatory government is eating out your substance like nothing ever imagined before. It's not only eating out your substance, but it's eating out the substance of your children and your children's children and their children, because the debt is rising to the point where there is no way to pay it. There is no way to restore a sound economy anymore. You've gone too far. There is no point of return except for total collapse and from the ashes rising up. The problem is, the real culprit in predatory government is not the government. It's the people. Socialism breeds the predatory nature of society. It is a covetous system that says it's okay to take from your neighbor. Of course, they always start out, well, take from the rich and give to the poor. But that's not the way it ends up. And in Proverbs, they talk about that being the actual problem. Is that in Proverbs, they say, consent not They say, let's all have one purse. They tell you to consent not. And one purse is what socialism is all about. Everybody has a common wealth where someone controls all the land, all the resources of labor. And you become one of those resources, which I always thought it was amazing when they started calling the unemployment division the Department of Resources. Because you're the resource. You're what they own now. And so how does this come about? It comes about because of covetousness. And this is right in the beginning, in the early church, men like Peter. Peter says, through covetousness, they will make merchandise of you. And we point this out. And I could go through dozens upon dozens of quotes. What agreements do you have with unbelievers? What should have been for your welfare will become a snare. If you sit and eat with a ruler, and you be a man of appetite, put a knife to your throat because he serves you deceitful meats. Over and over again in the Bible, they're warning you about having this one purse. It runs towards evil. It will devour your flesh. It devour your children's flesh. Because they will bring you into debt, which is bringing you into bondage. And we pointed out earlier today that people worry about Sabbath. Is Sabbath on Saturday? Is Sabbath on Sunday? What day is it? Once you study the Hebrew language the way we show you how you can decipher it based on the meaning of the letters, because that's the way that language was put together. The Sabbath is about debt. You're not keeping the Sabbath if you don't work 6 days and then take your day off. It doesn't matter which day. The point is that you work and earn your time off. You earn your rest. You earn your vacation. You earn that new sofa. You earn that big screen TV by working first. Don't go into debt. The Sabbath is about not going into debt to get what you want or what you need or what you think you need. And the whole world, every country has gone into debt. Every socialist country is now into debt up to its ears. Even China is on the verge of total bankruptcy, partly because it has all those U.S. Treasury notes, which aren't worth anything anymore. It's way beyond what anybody could pay. But they're playing musical money. But ultimately, you have to realize they're not trying to get the money. There is no power in the money. The money is valueless. You can go right on the Federal Reserve website, they'll tell you Federal Reserve notes have no value. At one time, they were redeemable in lawful money, but they're not anymore, at least not by anybody that I know. As a matter of fact, I don't believe they're redeemable by anybody by now, based on international law and the treaties that they've been signing since way back Noriega. Noriega was the last guy to make a good deal with the notes, and they ended up taking him out anyway. So, and most people are completely oblivious to that. And I could go in and explain exactly what treaties they signed and how they signed them. And, you know, Public Law 95-147, you could all take notes on it. But it won't make any difference to know all the technicalities of this. What makes a difference is you have to stop being a predator. You have to stop being slothful. The slothful should be under tribute. The Bible tells you that too. The slothful shall be under tribute. It tells you. Slothful in what? Those responsibilities we were talking about at the beginning of the program. You have to take back your responsibilities if you want your rights back. It's not about filing papers. It's not about making proclamations. It's not about overthrowing the existing government. You need that existing government in place to keep what little order it does keep. But what you need to do is gather together in free assemblies, not corporate assemblies, free assemblies. And you have to start caring for one another the way that early church was doing. Because amazingly enough, and this is one of the things, when I originally was studying theology in school, private school way back in California, St. Joseph's College, I actually didn't, I wasn't a resident at that school. I was a resident at another private school up the hill, and we went down to that school for classes. And so I was talking with people that had been international travelers, and my father had been a lawyer, had done, handled international cases. He wrote law books. So I had a unique background to be able to ask some of these questions. I actually knew people who lived in the Vatican for a while, although they came to me and they said, you know, the Roman Church is not the one true church. This is from somebody who lived in the Vatican. I didn't expect that. But he began to tell me what they don't tell you when you go to your normal seminary schools. And that and the pieces of the puzzle that God has provided over the last half dozen decades. You know, for the last 24, 25 years, I've been picking up more and more pieces of the puzzle. I couldn't afford books, so I said, God, you have to send me the books. Books would show up on my doorstep. They would show up in the mail. And, you know, and I live 100 miles from the nearest town of any size. And so then I had to write this down. I was compelled to write this down. And I wrote it down in books, and you can read them all on our website. You want to know how the bondage came about? How many different ways they have created the chains and forged them that bind you in this system? It's not just one thing. It's a million different ways. But we broke it down into 15 basic chapters, and we put them in a single book, The Covenants of the Gods. Because you were to make no covenants with them nor with their gods. And if you don't know that the word they use in both Old and New Testament for gods means magistrates. And people say, well, where do you get that? Strong's Concordance. Both Theos and Elohim. It means gods are magistrates, judges. And we can show you this not in one place, not in two places, but in dozens and dozens of places, including the Capitol Dome of the United States in Washington, D.C. On their own website, they say this picture, the Apotheos of Washington, raises Washington to the rank of God. That's what they say on the U.S. government website. Because he appoints all the ruling judges throughout the federal empire. And you are subject to them because you have made covenants with them. And those covenants come in the form of applying for benefits from men who exercise authority one over the other. And Christ forbade that. And I never hear preachers bring it up in church. Never. He says, it is not to be that way with you, like they do, where men call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. But yet, all these Christians are doing that directly in contradiction to what Christ said. And see, when I was reading these things and studying, I was asking these questions. Well, what about this? What about that? They couldn't answer. And then God sent me a few people that gave me a few answers. But the rest of the answers, they came out here in the desert. And I'm telling you, that's how you got into bondage, is that book, Covenants of the Gods. Then we give you a history in the book, Thy Kingdom Comes. These are all free online. You can download them for free. The whole book, not just a chapter, the whole book. You can read it in HTML. You can read it in PDF. And we'll even put it so you can get free downloads on your Kindle through Amazon if you want. Because we're a church. We're not a business. We do live by faith, hope, and charity. But in the book, Thy Kingdom Come, we give you the history of how this government works. How it worked in the days of Abraham. How it worked in the days of Moses. How it went wrong in the days of Saul. How we in the early America were starting to go that way, and we've turned around and continued the ways of kings. I just heard this morning early that, actually it was yesterday. I thought it was before they melt this morning, but no, it was yesterday. That they were talking about that they want to end term limits for the presidency. You got your king. They just don't want to go to all the trouble of electing a different one every 8 years. But you're back into that bondage. You're back in the bondage of Egypt because you went the wrong way. All you have to do is turn around, but you cannot just change the government. It doesn't do any good. If you got together with 500, 1,000, 500,000 people and you went out on an island that was completely free and you could own that land and you could, it had fruit trees everywhere and nut trees and game abounded and everything, and you went out with those 500,000 people all wanting to be free, you'd be back in bondage again if you don't change as a people. And the fact is, I know out in America and in Australia and some of the other places that we are, have people trying to form congregations, that there are people that are beginning to wake up to where we went wrong, how we turned the world back on its head and brought it back into bondage. There are people who are realizing this, and they want to come together with others. And that's why we do every radio show that we can, is to get them connected with each other. People used to call me and tell me, and I can't remember. God has given me a power to remember all kinds of things. But he doesn't give me the power to remember your names. I can't remember names of people. I excuse that by saying, because you are not your name. Your name is who you are. I remember people. I just don't remember their names. So we've created a thing called the Living Network. And you can go on our website and pick the guide that has a little net and connect with other people that are beginning to wake up and are beginning to care about others and not just themselves. If you do not end selfishness in your own heart, you will be a slave, because that's what we have become slothful in. We've become slothful in forgiving and giving and caring and being righteous. And if we become slothful in those things, we will go into bondage. Only the diligent shall bear rule. If you want to be a free people, that's only for the virtuous. The unvirtuous, they're not going to be free. And they shouldn't be free. And they need governments to punish them. And so God lets them start governments. But the government of God operates entirely by free will offered. There is taxes in the government of God, but you tax yourself. Nobody has the right to tax you. Nobody has the right to rule over you. But it takes a virtuous people to make that work. People who will actually care about their spouses and care about their children. And in their spare time, they'll care about their neighbor's children. They won't spend their neighbor's children and grandchildren into debt. They won't beg for benefits. Everybody who wants any benefit from government, knowing the government is bankrupt and in debt and going into debt more rapidly and more rapidly and more rapidly than ever. You know, it's becoming exponential. And you still want a benefit. You might as well just go out and slit the throat of children. And of course, that's what we actually see. They're going out and killing children in gun-free zones. Because spiritually, you're already doing that. So economically, you're going to end up doing that. And then physically, you're going to begin to do that. This is the tip of the iceberg. This murder and mayhem, you see. It's the tip of the iceberg. Because we have gone down this wrong road. And it's creating a spiritual momentum of destruction. You ever wonder how Germany could have killed so many people? Russia could have killed so many people, 23 million, 30 million. China, how many did they kill? 30, 35 million, some say up to 60 million people starved to death or actually died because of their policies, either directly or indirectly. How does a nation get to the point of that moral depravity? You can see the pictures on the internet. This is what they actually photograph of bodies. And shooting people in the back of the head. Young girls shooting them. Babies shooting them. Mothers with babies shooting them. How do people get to that point of depravity? Socialism. Selfishism. Same thing. You have to change. You have to go another way. You have to become unselfish. And you have to do it not in a chaotic way, but in an organized way. But you have, in order for it to be a free society, you have to organize yourself. You have to decide to stand alone together with others who want to stand alone and support themselves, support their family, and will give you a helping hand when you need it, but will not give you so much charity as to weaken you. That is what is required for a free society. That is what is required for liberty, is that virtue, exercised daily. And so what we're doing on this network is you join the network, and it's based on locality. I mean, we're in Australia, like I said. You can be in any part of the world and join. We don't have a lot of people in Europe. We have a few people that have joined in Europe. But those people can now connect with other people in their same state or nearby states. Some of the states are small and have so few people, we've bundled them up. There's not a lot of people in Nevada, although we're on a radio station there in Nevada, and so the number may increase. But the point is that you can start connecting with people somewhat close to you. They may be 100 miles away. They might be 200 miles away. But you connect in that general area, and you start thinking of ways to find more people and bring them into the network. Are they bound in the network? No. What will bind them is they actually start doing for each other. They become the medical share. They become the social welfare. But not the kind that you can defraud, because we actually begin to know each other. We know each other's family. We have the Burning Bush Festival here in the fall. We have a spring festival in Missouri. And we hope to have more and more festivals as the numbers increase, where people can actually go and meet the other people. And of course, locally, we have some groups that are meeting in Colorado and now in Conemaugh, Wisconsin, like I said, in Missouri, New York, and hopefully we'll get more and more people that will start gathering together and meeting and start being there for each other and casting their bread upon the waters to help each other whenever there's need. Most of our experience has been is that whenever there's a disaster or a flood, like in Australia, or a snowstorm in the Midwest, nobody needs any help. We did have some people in the hurricane, and guys came and helped them out. But generally speaking, most people are very self-sufficient in this network because they're people that are looking for self-sufficiency. But there will come a time, you know, like that we had some people that were a few miles away from one of the nuclear reactors that almost went Fukushima along during the floods a year or so ago. And all over the network, people were saying, well, you can come and stay with us if you have to leave. If they had to bug out, if it started spewing out radioactivity, they had another place and a safer place to go to. Because people were beginning, and a lot of these people didn't even know each other that well yet. And of course, some people have fallen away from the network because they got doctrinal issues. The doctrines of Christ are simple. Love your neighbor as yourself and love God, which is righteousness. You don't need to say magic words. You don't need to have special days. You need to have the precept upon precept that we see repeated over and over again in the Bible. And if you do that, you believe in Christ. I know lots of people tell me they believe in Christ. They don't know him. Just like there was a lot of people at the time of Jesus said they believed in Moses and Abraham. And Jesus said, you don't even know him. You don't know the Father. If you knew the Father, you would know me. So if you love God and what? The giver of life, the giver of righteousness, the ultimate merciful law-abiding God, and it's his laws are written in your hearts, you're in. Why wouldn't you want to gather with other people like that? Some of these people that are joining in the network, they're extremely knowledgeable, extremely skilled. And we will need those people as the days continue to watch the world unwind, unravel, because the world is in a terrible state. It's not in the state of freedom, but that's where we need to go. That's where we need to turn around and get back to. And so in those books, and there's other books, the Free Church Report, Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions, for people who think the answer is still in the Constitution. The Constitution is extremely flawed. They knew it at the time. Most of the people in America would have voted against it had it been put to a popular vote, but it had nothing to do with those people. We the people are the people that were going to become a part of the federal government. Unfortunately, since then, and 1868 and 69 and subsequent acts thereof, everybody has become part of the federal government. But they have become a part of the administrative government, and now they're in administrative courts and under administrative laws, and they're back in the bondage of Egypt again. You need to turn around from that. And so we write that, and then the other book is The Higher Liberty. And The Higher Liberty is a book that deals basically with the arguments that you get from the Orthodox Church concerning Romans 13. Romans 13, they translate it to say, let every man remain subject to the higher power, because all power is of God. There is no power but of God, and anyone who opposes the power opposes God. Except for the fact that the word power there is one of seven different words that are translated into power, and is also translated into the word liberty. It's also translated into the word right. It is the strongest word in the Hebrew and the Greek language for liberty, even stronger than eleutheria. It means the absolute right to choose. And so if we put the word liberty there, let every man remain subject to the higher liberty or higher right to choose, because all liberty is of God. There is no liberty but of God, and anyone who opposes liberty opposes God. And that's what Paul was saying. But now, King James wasn't going to let him translate it that way, was he? They might have started thinking more about freedom than they already did. The fact is, most of the people in the world are not going to think about freedom. They're not going to go the ways of freedom. They're not seeking freedom. They're seeking benefits at your expense. They are the zombie apocalypse, going about devouring who they will. And they can devour you if you've been eating at their table. If you sit and eat with a ruler, according to Proverbs, and you be a man of appetite, put a knife to your throat. You're going to have to start weaning yourself off of the benefits of the predatory government and start coming together, because everybody needs help from time to time. But more than needing help from time to time, everybody needs to learn to help others. You cannot have Christ living in you unless you come to serve. You go to church not for the service you will receive, but for the service you can give. If you will do that, there's hope. There's hope for freedom, there's hope for liberty, and there's hope that you will survive both. And that's where we need to go to be saved, is the way that Christ has laid before us. And so we're at the end of another program. I guess we'll see you next week on Keys of the Kingdom. Go to hisholychurch.org. You can click on, there's all kinds of, all the books are there. You can get a hold of somebody on the local networks. I can't have everybody calling me, but we have lots of guys who are well-trained volunteers. Doesn't cost you anything. We don't charge anything for any of our services. Find the people in your local area. And the best place to click on is the little guy up at the top of the net and join their local network. And then most of what we do is not done through email. It's done by people helping people. So that's the best way. Thank you for having me. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 972-647-9640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.